You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at byheart.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
I'll The Bachelor.
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. This is Twibbin. We're recording this on Thursday. It's a very special day. It's Thursday, May 11th. What day is that, Pace Case?
Twibbin.
It's Pace Case's birthday. Happy birthday to Pace Case.
Thank you. Special birthday episode. Yes. Coming right up. I mean, technically for you all, it's the 12th. So wish me a happy belated if you see me.
That's right. By the airing of this episode, you will be one day into your, I don't know if you want to reveal the number. Let's just say
I'm 34.
She outlived Christ. You tell me. Does that mean anything?
Let's just say she outlived Christ.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
In my books.
Wait, you think I should already be embarrassed in my age, 34?
No. I don't feel like that's ever embarrassing. I just didn't know what your personal protocols were with it. I was trying to be respectful of those.
What's your age?
47.
We're 14 years apart.
That's right.
No, 13 years apart.
Something 13. Like that. Yeah. I'll be experiencing the big 4-8 in a month.
The ideal age gap, I say.
Right. Exactly. Time flies when it doesn't exist.
You've beaten Christ by a lot.
Yeah. I'm superior to Christ, at least in that way. But thank you for joining us today for this very special edition of This Week in Bachelor Nation. We've got a lot to discuss. A lot of crazy things have been happening over the course of this week. But before we get to any of it, we got a little bit of business. Of course, we still got those Bad at Job mugs. You can get them at gameofroses.co. You can give them to people that you believe are bad at jobs. Or you can have one for yourself as a joke.
Or good, ironically. That's how I prefer to think I'm drinking from it.
Oh, nice. I don't have one yet. I got to get one.
What?
I know. We also have the paperback edition of How to Win the Bachelor coming out May 23rd. You can pre-order it now anywhere you pre-order books and get your hands on the easier to carry version of How to Win the Bachelor.
Love that book. Heard it was pivotal in some people getting to the top three this season.
Yeah, I mean, it was. And my scream at the end of this episode is going to have something to do with the book and something to do with something completely unrelated to our show, as usually is the case. So stay tuned for that. But that wraps up our business. Now let's just get into this. We're going to start this with
Game of Roses. State of the game.
All right. A lot of shit went down this week in our beloved game. Mainly the promo for Charity Lawson's upcoming season of The Bachelorette came out. And she started making the media rounds. She was on Jennifer Hudson's show. They're starting to roll her out now to present her as The Bachelorette. And it seems that no one cares. She has 104,000 followers on Instagram. Last week, she had 102,000. This is almost no gain at all. I don't know traditionally in this first week of promotion what it does to bachelorettes, except that I can remember Claire Crawley very clearly. She was announced on Good Morning America, and obviously she had a long span from announcement to her episode actually shooting or airing, but she ticked up in those charts big time, even just from the announcement. There was in that era, God, to even say that era wasn't that long ago. This was 2020. But in that time, it was a different vibe. The announcement of a bachelorette, the rolling out, the promotion of a bachelorette, all these things, they were treated with much more weight. And I don't know what the deal is with this upcoming season of Bachelorette, exactly why it seems like they're just kind of shitting it out. Let's talk specifically about the promo that came out. I did a little Instagram reel about it. It's a still image. It's Charity Lawson kind of coming toward the viewer. And on either side of her are these walls essentially made of roses. And you can see in the background, they end. It's almost like a maze or something in just a big white nothing. So she's on, I mean, they shot that probably on like a white cyclorama in a studio. And then they put in the roses with Photoshop or whatever. And as I said in my Instagram reel, it gave me the vibe that the walls are closing in on her, that she is trapped. If it gives any vibe at all, that is the vibe it gives, in my opinion. But it seems more likely this was just an afterthought. Well, we got this picture of her, throw some fucking roses in there somewhere. And somebody's like, okay, what if we put these rose walls beside her?
What do you mean? I think we get so much about her character from this promo clues.
Oh, do you? Please.
First of all, the color red, the color of passion. Maybe there's going to be a lot of chemistry play this season. Her dress looks CGI'd onto her body. Maybe that means that she's actually was naked in this photo. And she's actually a free spirit. And we're yet to find out about that. I can't wait to see her voluntary nudity plays. Is that not what you're getting?
No, that's not what I'm getting at all. I am getting from this generic. There's literally nothing about her personality in this whatsoever. At least with what I would consider to be one of the disastrous promos that was Katie Thurston. At least in that, there was some attempt at something. It's weird.
At least there was hot penis energy.
Right. You're not getting any hot penis energy in this one.
I mean, this could be a vagina.
I just don't understand it. It's like, it's the roses. She's standing in the middle and it's like, that is a person.
The hands.
That is a person and those are roses. I will give them that.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 rose petals above her. What do you think that means?
It's clearly a reference to season 17 of The Bachelor, Goldini. I don't know. I don't think it means anything.
Charlie O'Connell. It's a nod to Charlie O'Connell.
Maybe. You think? You think he's going to come back?
Could be.
All of the comments in this are universally positive. I don't know if they're filtering out the negative ones. There's a bunch of Bachelor Nation people popping off in there.
I'm looking at it in the article version. And at the bottom, there's a link to related articles. First official look at Charity Lawson in Fiji on her season of The Bachelorette. It's a link to that dad photo. Like, I would say it's better than those photos. Don't you think?
Yeah.
It's more
for sure.
Like,
I mean, this is polished. It's professionally done by the Bachelor, by ABC's marketing team and all that. It just is lackluster.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it that excites you in any way. There's nothing in it that's even interesting that raises a question of like, oh, what's that about? Like, I remember when they did Tayshia's and it had all the newspaper headlines and shit behind it. You could get lost in that image.
That one was so good. That one needs to be in the Met.
I agree. You could literally spend a fucking hour just looking at all the headlines and shit in those newspapers.
Hannah Brown in the Cinderella where she takes off the dress and she's got a pantsuit.
I mean, that's a video. We haven't seen her video promo yet. But even Hannah Brown's still promo gave that air of like fantasy princess, like Disney princess. This is, I don't get this one. I just don't get it. And again, the way they're positioning the roses in these walls, it truly feels like she's trapped to me. Hmm. And I know maybe that's just me putting some shit on this because that's how what I feel the show is now.
Yeah. You okay there, Clues? Opto 2023.
Is Charity okay?
Is Charity okay? Is this a cry for help from Charity?
Oh, well, no. I mean, I think she was positioned and posed. I don't think she had any choice in this. But I just don't understand where we're at in terms of trying to market the fucking show. What are they doing? What is this?
They didn't give her a storyline. What do they have to work with?
Right. And that's, I think, you get these promos now, or this promo at the very least, exactly because of that. They have edited all the recent seasons down to fucking nothing. You don't know what any of the personalities of any of the people in the game are like. And so then what can you give us in a promo other than something completely generic?
Yeah.
If there is some visual reference to like a PTC that we never got to see, or any little personality quirk or trait that we never got to see, it would be like, what the fuck is this about?
Yeah, you'd be interested. Remember the Zach Shawcross one? He was just standing against a fence.
Yes. They couldn't be more generic, and I don't understand that. Occasionally, though, they'll try shit. Like, remember Gabby Windy and Rachel Recchia? They're driving in a car, Thelma and Louise style, like, letting their hair down.
That was in the poster?
Yeah. That at least gave you some sense of, like, oh, they're friends going on an adventure. This shit, I don't get it, other than she's about to get smashed by these roses, destroyed by the process itself. That, to me, metaphorically, is exactly what this is saying.
It's, yeah... Look, it's hard to be opto when I'm looking at this. I'll be honest.
I agree with
you. I feel like they're going to give her the Shawcross treatment. Sand down the edges. She's just a good girl looking for love. She's Miss 4TRR. That's what this says to me. Good girl 4TRR.
It's just so generic. I hate it. I mean...
I hate it. Tell me how you really feel.
Spend 5 minutes. It's just... It's nothing. It's just nothing. You know, it's like, okay, yep, there she is. And she's surrounded by roses. Like, why didn't they block in the background with something? Why that big? There's like a white pillar just right down the middle. It's a weird design and it just feels unfinished almost.
It's like she's in the afterlife.
Yeah, this is her heaven or hell.
It reminds me of the gum wall for some reason, like in Seattle.
Yeah, the roses kind of look like that. It just feels like a first attempt, and the marketing department was like, yep, whatever, slop it out. Who gives a fuck?
Yep, whatever. That's what it sounds like, sure.
Nothing that we're saying, by the way, is to disparage Charity in any way. We have yet to see what kind of a bachelorette she's going to be, but we wish her well, and we hope that the season is good and everything. This is all about the marketing team. This is all about how they're trying to promote this season, and we already know that it's going to be premiering June 26th. We already know that it's going to be premiering on, I believe, on Tuesdays. And it's going to be...
This says Monday.
Or no, it's premiering on Monday, but I think it moves to Tuesdays. And it's going to be airing. Yeah. And it's going to be airing an hour later than normal. So it already has some things against it, but...
They better be able to say more swear words.
Yeah. I'm not sure about the Tuesday thing. I could be completely wrong about that, but I believe I did read that somewhere. For some reason, it's in my head. I can say that much. But we definitely know it is going to be premiering an hour later. So already in the programming of it, which comes from ABC, it feels like they're kind of like, fuck it. Let's just shit this one out. At any rate, that is the state of the game, where we're at with Charity Lawson now being promoted as our next Bachelorette in this kind of lackluster way and seemingly getting no traction on Instagram as a result of it either. We'll see what she winds up with. But like I said, she's at 104K.
Her number has stabilized, right?
Basically, she put on 2K this week. And that's like, yeah, I guess. That it just seems paltry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, seems like it's a big push and you would want that to be higher.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are watching the show she was on, Jennifer Hudson's show.
I don't know either. But that wraps up the state of the game. Now we're going to move on to a portion of our program in which we discuss the other things we're watching. This is...
What are you watching?
What are you watching?
In the off season, we have a lot of time to watch other things beside our beloved game. We, of course, imbibed Love is Blind season 4. And all that came with it on Netflix, including the disastrous semi-live season finale reunion show or whatever.
I liked it more and more, the reunion, the more I look back and I think about her faces.
Me too. It really is, in hindsight, in retrospect, it's starting to take on an air of like a Charlie O'Connell season to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking crazy.
Charlie O'Connell energy, definitely. Yes.
I think it will, in the long history of old reality TV dating, for me, I think that episode is going to hold a special place in my heart. It already does, because it was just so fucking insane. Like, the circumstances of it, everything about it was nuts.
What are your other special episodes
of all reality TV,
of history, of all TV?
All TV?
Or okay, reality TV.
Fuck. Well, of course, you got the great one, Nick Viall, getting dismissed on Andy Dorfman's season and saying in the limo, "You took things from me." Also, Nick Viall on the reunion, on the after the final rose.
I thought he said that during the reunion.
No, that was...
to her.
No, I think he said it in the limo. It was when he was getting evacuated in the limo. But also when he said, "How could you make love to me without being in love with me?" Of course, that's iconic. I love Corinne Olympios in season 21, taking a nap during the rose ceremony. I love Mary Delgado doing the first... Who'd you? I mean, Jesus Christ. I'm just going to say every episode of Bachelor now.
Yeah, we should do an episode about this. Yeah.
What's your favorite episode? It's like, well, it starts with season 1, episode 1. Then it goes to season 1, episode 2. Then season 1, episode 3. And I just go through all episodes.
Brad Wilmack choosing no one.
Oh, God, that was great. Yeah, there have been a lot of great episodes in Bachelor history, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about, what are you watching in this off season that is not reality TV or Bachelor, or maybe it is reality TV, yeah, but certainly it's not Bachelor, because we ain't got no Bachelor.
Here's what I've been injecting into my veins. Love Island Australia.
Mm.
I'm watching it on Hulu. It is... This past season is, look, I will just say up front, there's no Casa Amor, but it's an incredible season. Highly, highly recommend. Great characters.
All right.
Also, Vanderpump Rules, of course. I'm catching up on that. Holy hell. I just watched the trailer for the reunion. They marketed it like a horror film.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
And it will be. Yeah. I was like, flash of image of someone, you know.
And that's because the Scandoval stuff has yet to be addressed formally by the show, right?
Yeah, and like, he's just basic, he and Raquel are basically going to be answering for it. And they're there. Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
Okay.
I'm watching Barry. Have you watched Barry?
I have not. I've seen the billboards.
Oh, I think you would like it.
Maybe.
It's very dark, but it is very funny and well written. Abbott Elementary, the opposite. Sure. Very light and also very funny. Mm-hmm. So not the complete opposite. The opposite in one way.
Yeah.
Have you watched that?
Of what?
Abbott Elementary?
Yeah, I've seen it.
So good.
Yeah, it's fine. So
and on HBO Lax, we're watching Succession, which I think season 4 is probably the best season of Succession they've done. I know you don't watch it, but highly, highly recommend. And season 2 of Yellow Jackets on our Patreon. Again, also an iconic season. Speaking of favorite episodes, their episode 3 of this season was like unreal.
Yeah. I think my favorite episode of TV maybe ever. It's either Something in the Wire.
Bad Judge Pilot.
No. Oh. That is probably my most hated episode of television ever. Because it took a personal toll on my life that I will never be able to.
Okay, episode 13. Recoup.
Yeah, exactly. No, I loved Breaking Bad, the next to last episode. Fucking great. The Rian Johnson one.
Ozymandias.
That's one of the best episodes of anything ever made.
Yes, that was so good.
What I've been watching are a few different things. One, Netflix, Chimp Empire. If you haven't seen this, it's fucking incredible.
That's why you keep talking about chimps.
It's incredible. You know, the Jane Goodall studied these chimps in this area, in this jungle forest area in Africa for X amount of years. Her research team has still been there, continuing to research these chimps, these colonies of chimps, for the last 60 years. And so they know everything about them. They know who's running which chimp group and who's dating which chimp and all this kind of shit. And each chimp has their own little role within the community. And they really do have like independent personalities and all this kind of shit. And it's like a reality show about these chimpanzees. It's absolutely insane. Wow. If you have not seen it, I encourage you to watch it. Beautifully
I'm
shot.
I'm adding that to my list. That actually sounds good.
Yeah. It does have some semi-disturbing things, and they are animals behaving as animals behave. Just FYI. I'm also watching.
Is it Take It to the Base, Froggy?
What's that?
This is a video I saw in Good Place Room.
No, it's not that. I know what you're talking about. And okay. It's worse than that, in my opinion. But
no. Okay, then I don't.
Only
know.
In certain parts. Most of it's not that bad.
I don't need anything disturbing.
Okay. I'm also watching 90 Day the Other Way. That show is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the game mechanics in it, and it's not quite. It's hard to find game mechanics in it. I'll say that.
What do you mean? There totally are.
Yeah, there are, but it's not. It's all like interpersonal. The whole thing is first audience game. There is no second audience. There's third audience.
No, there's a second audience of there's the families.
Yeah, but that's, you're not playing against them. It's not like Bachelor with it's a second audience.
Oh, competing with them, you mean?
Yeah. That's just like family play.
You're just competing with the idea of not getting married.
Right. Or getting married or whatever.
Or not being a memorable couple.
And you're not, the producers, I don't feel like, are really trying to sabotage anybody on that show either. They definitely set up fake scenarios and shit, but very generally it's not in the same way that like a Bachelor or Love Actually, is Blind does.
This one season, there is an enemy. Mm. This woman goes to India and then his family kidnaps him.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a really good season.
But I am enjoying it. There are some very funny characters in it and people who are just like made for reality TV. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Also, just finished Behind Her Eyes on Netflix.
How do you think they find them?
What's that?
How do they find the people for 90 Day Fiancé?
They apply.
Oh, so you have to be having a K-1. You don't think they recruit somehow, like have a connection with the...
I think there are people who say, I'm going to do this K-1 visa specifically to try and get on the show.
So they... Wow.
I'm also watching Behind Her Eyes, or just finished it, miniseries.
You should do that.
Huh?
I was saying you should get on 90 Day Fiancé.
I'm okay. I'm good. Thank you, though. I'm also watching Behind Her Eyes on Netflix, or just completed it. It's a miniseries. I believe it was 6 or 7 episodes. It's about astral projection. It was interesting, but the show that I'm watching the most, that I am absolutely enamored with and probably will watch an episode or two as soon as we get off this podcast recording, is Demon Slayer season 3 on Netflix.
I like that you didn't write that one in the document to kind of give a big reveal.
Yeah, I tried to surprise you with it. For those out there who may be interested in what this is, it's an anime. It is the biggest anime in the world currently. They had a movie come out a couple of years ago called Demon Slayer Mugen Train that grossed, I believe, $450 million worldwide. It made more money globally than Wonder Woman did the year it came out. It's a giant...
You know, they talked about it on this Love Island Australia season.
Oh, Demon Slayer?
Two of the people were super into anime.
Yeah. It's a huge phenomenon. If you haven't checked it out, I would highly recommend it. The animation is beautiful. There is no anime that looks like it. The storytelling is fantastic, and you can get all of it right now. I think it's on Netflix. Start at season 1. you're going to get sucked in. For those who know what anime genres are, it is technically a shonen, which is about usually a young boy who discovers he has some kind of power in a world where there's like humans and there's some other kind of thing, an alien or demons, in this case demons. And the young boy discovers they have a power that can battle these things. And then it's about that boy learning how to use the power and becoming more powerful. It's like My Hero Academia is a shonen. Technically, Harry Potter, if it was an anime, would be a shonen. Anyway.
Or like you with The Bachelor, just becoming more powerful.
I discovered my bachelor powers way past being a young boy. But it is great. And if you haven't checked out any anime ever in your life, give it a try. Give Demon Slayer a try. I know the name may throw you off and think make you think that it's like some kind of gory whatever.
The name is definitely throwing me off.
It's not. The premise is this. This takes place in like a feudal Japan. And in this era, there are demons that come out at night and they will kill people. And they can turn those people into demons as well. And there is a Demon Slayer core of people who fight these demons with special swords. The series opens in the pilot with this young man going to collect wood and sell it in the city. And when he comes back to his family's house out in the woods, a demon has killed them all, except his sister is still kind of alive, but she's turning into a demon. And generally speaking, when that happens, you just have to kill the person. Like, sorry, that's the way it's going to go. But he refuses. Mm. He says, I'm not going to kill her. I'm going to save her. And so he takes her and he devotes his entire life to figuring out how he's going to turn her back into a human.
Wow.
And it's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Can't recommend it enough. But that's what we're watching in this long, cold off season. And
what are we going to be watching coming up?
Coming up, we got the
Queer Ultimatum.
The Ultimatum.
When is that?
That's coming up in a couple of weeks, I believe. I think it's at the end of May. May 20 something.
May 24th.
May 24th. I'm definitely going to be watching it in Clues Corner. So if you want to watch that along with me, please, you're more than welcome to join us at patreon.com/gamerroses. I assume they'll be dropping like multiple episodes like they do any of their other reality shows, but that's what we're watching. We hope everybody out there is watching some fun stuff in the off season as well. I'm also watching the basketball playoffs, by the way.
First four episodes are dropping May 24th.
There you
go. Sorry, what was the last thing you said?
I'm also watching basketball playoffs right now. The Lakers are up 3-2 against the Golden State Warriors. And after a absolutely horrendous...
In the finals?
No, this is the semifinals, I believe. After an absolutely horrendous beginning to the season, they actually got a shot to win a fucking championship. It's absolutely nuts. Highly recommend that if you're not... Well, I mean, if you're not a basketball fan, you're not going to like it, but...
Lake show.
Anyway, that's what we're watching. Let's move on to that portion of our program now where we talk about all those luscious tids.
This is... Bachelor Nation News.
Up first in Bachelor Nation News, two survivors of Bachelor in Paradise Season 8, the season of misery, the season of suffering, the season of the group tier. Serene Russell and Puppy Dog 4TRR purist Brandon Jones have ended their engagement after less than a year. The All-Stars announced the official dissolution of their relationship via a joint Instagram post on Monday that read, "After many months, today we have ultimately decided to end our engagement. We have tried to work privately on our relationship, which has been incredibly challenging in the public eye. This has been immensely hard to accept and painful, as there's a lot of love between the two of us. We are deeply hurting and can only ask that there be no hate. The best path for us at this time is to try and move forward and heal from this as individuals."
Pretty much textbook, right?
Yeah.
Along with the announcement, the pair shared a highlight reel from their relationship, including photos from their time on BIP, clips of them singing karaoke in the car, and an image of them sharing a passionate kiss on the beach.
Statistically speaking, this was the likely outcome of this relationship, but it is still difficult to see yet another high-profile Paradise couple screeching to a halt. We wish Jones and Russell all the best as they move forward alone, and perhaps we will see them again on sand in the very near future.
I mean, we gotta see Brandon Jones, right? He's a great player.
All I will say is, Paradise begins shooting at the beginning of June. The timing of this seems interesting to me. That's all I'll say. I believe that...
No.
Oh, yes. If either of them have eyes on Paradise, or maybe both of them do, they had to do this breakup like by now, basically. You want to have a month going in. You know what I mean? And that's exactly when they're doing it. So, you know, I don't know if it's planned out specifically because they are maybe going to go to Paradise. I have no idea. But that possibility is now on the table for them.
Put exes on the beach. That's great drama.
I agree. I mean, like we had rumors of all the different people that are going to be in Paradise. If they get added to the mix, even one of them gets added to the mix, I think it's, I don't know. This next season of Paradise, I will just say, I think is going to be very interesting for a variety of reasons. But not the least of which is they're going to have some fucking high-powered all-stars there.
Mm-hmm. If they get all those crowns. Speaking of, not a crown, but could have been, Madison Pruitt is in the news this week. The better half of the Trizzy Trout duo announced her second book on Wednesday, The Love Everybody Wants, What You're Looking For Is Already Yours, will be released on September 19th. And I, Clues, will be reading it in its entirety on Clues Corner. You will?
Yeah. I wrote I and then Clues in the parentheses because I was like, I don't know who's going to read this first paragraph. Yeah. I'm going to fucking do it. I'm just going to power through this motherfucker. I'm going to read every fucking word of it in Clues Corner. So get ready. And that, in keeping with that.
You remember recording the audiobook, right?
Yeah. Took me 10 minutes.
Took me 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You programmed an AI to do it.
No problem. Yeah.
I knew it.
I'm just curious what's in it. Anyway, let's get through the rest of the news piece on it. Then we can discuss. Categorized on the Penguin Random House website as, in quotes, religion and personal growth. The book is described as follows. And again, in preparation for reading every word of it in Clues Corner, we're not going to leave out a word of this description. This is literally as it's described on the Penguin Random House website. Here we go. In quotes, speaker and best-selling author Madison Pruitt Trout shows you how embracing God's love allows you to truly love yourself and cultivate deep, meaningful relationships.
Is there something wrong with me? How many more wrong ones until the right one? Am I hard to love?
Madison Pruitt Trout
knows what it's like to ask these questions in the middle of the night, to doubt and worry about never finding the love so desperately hoped for. But Maddie has discovered a deeper truth now, that the love we're searching for is already ours. Just look in your pocket. There's a billionaire.
Yeah, exactly. In The Love Everybody Wants, Maddie sets aside the shallow messages our culture shouts every day to help us hear God's beautiful whisper. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and nothing will ever change that. That was written in italics, which is why I did that whisper. God's whisper. God's beautiful whisper.
Obviously. People will get that. Drawing from scripture and stories from her own life, Maddie invites us to embrace God's unconditional love so we can love ourselves well and never settle for less. The love everybody wants empowers you to view relationships in holy and healthy ways, rely on biblical strategies for healing when your heart is hurting, overcome lies such as I have to follow my heart and feelings above all else, understand that a life partner is meant to complement you, not complete you. Look to your future with joy because you were made to love.
This isn't a manual for how to get a boyfriend or a manifesto for getting married. It's a book about the abundant love already at your fingertips, the love God has for you, the love that lasts forever, the love that changes everything, the love everybody wants. That's the full, complete description of this.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.com. canopyfiltered.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. Mm. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my... which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no roll back waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies. Comfort. From the outside in.
Look, as it is on her publisher's website. So it's obviously going to have a very Christian bent. We're eagerly awaiting the release of this book, her second book again. And it comes out, what was the date on it? It comes out September 19th. And like I said, I'm going to be reading it in the Clues Corner. Now, this is also coming right in the same week when she did a Q&A on Instagram. That essentially teased that her and Trizzy are going to open a ministry soon, per my predictions.
I love it.
Yeah.
You inspired her.
I don't know if that's true.
Or you just saw the early signs.
Yeah, I see the early signs. And I got to say this. I don't know when this is going to happen. I think she does feel obligated to have children in a Christian way. You know what I mean?
I'm surprised she hasn't already.
Well, this is kind of what we were talking about very early on when they said they were going to get married. And you were like, she'll take his last name. And I was like, maybe a hyphenated, but she ain't losing Pruitt.
She did.
No.
She did take his last name.
She, speaker and bestselling author, Madison Pruitt Trout. That's officially on the website. That's her name. That's like a
hyphenate.
What's
her last name there?
Pruitt Trout.
Trout.
I mean, however you want to say
that
it.
Means Pruitt, she made her last name into her middle name. Madison Pruitt Trout means she made her last name into her middle name.
But she's still very aware to keep Pruitt in the name as it's printed.
That wasn't the bet. The bet was, is she going to change her last name? And I was right.
All right.
Say it.
You were right.
It's my birthday.
You were right. Happy birthday. But I'm just saying you. That she's still keeping Pruitt as part of her identity in all official press releases.
Uh-huh.
That to me signifies that, again, we've talked about this a lot. She is highly competitive. She sees herself as a businesswoman, and rightfully so, she is. And that brand of Madison Pruitt is what she's primarily focused on currently. And I think the acquisition of a billionaire to help fund her branded ideas, like this book, like a ministry, et cetera, is still primary in her mind. At some point, she will have children. Again, I think out of Christian duty. But I think she's more interested in
little trizzies,
her brand development. Yeah, little trizzies. At any rate, anxiously awaiting this book, going to read every word, savor every word.
No, obviously, she's keeping it part of the brand. All women who make their last name into their middle names are branding experts.
At least in this case.
No, I definitely think it's on purpose. She needs to keep this brand. I'm sure there's a prenup. So that's why she's trying to make her money despite marrying into money.
You think Caitlin Bristow is going to become Caitlin Tardick?
No.
I don't think so either. You think Natalie Joy is going to become Natalie Vial?
Yes.
I think it'll be Natalie Joy Vial. I don't think she loses Joy. Yeah.
People don't lose their last names. They often just put it in the middle. Mm-hmm. But she's definitely going to go Joy Vial. I don't think Bristow will do that. But we'll see.
Maybe she should make it Natalie Joyal. I'd go with that.
The next accurate prediction after Pruitt Ministries is Joyal. You heard it here first.
Speaking of Joyal, the great one is in news this week after enduring the backlash from his comments made about reality stars being talentless and coining the term micro show to describe any podcast that doesn't have an audience as big as his. Nick Vial recently revealed that he turned down fiance Natalie Joyal multiple times in the initial phases of their relationship because of her age. He revealed this.
On Taylor Lautner's podcast, The Squeeze, Vial admitted, "We started messaging and I carded her. The age for me was something I was self-conscious about."
Joyal then divulged, "It's definitely weird to have so many people give you their opinions. DMs of mean comments about how I'm a child bride. Just terrible things. People would call me. I was like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this man. And I knew it, and he didn't. So I was like, I'm going to hang on because he'll come around."
You know, if this makes you feel better, Joyal, I have two friends who got married, and the friends of the groom called the fiance child bride also. Mm. And they're happily married. It seems like the great one and Natalie Joyal might be trying a victimization strategy in the wake of the fallout from his negative response to Jeremy Hartwell and Nick Thompson, launching a nonprofit to help reality stars called You Can.
I think that may be what's going on here, but I have to say, I sympathize with Joyal. In most relationships that I've been in, my role in the relationships has been diminished to arm candy or boy toy. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. That never happened to me in any relationship that I've ever been in. I wish.
One day.
This is an interesting thing, I think, for this kind of... she's definitely playing the victim card here of like, I got all this negative comments and stuff. And it just comes... look, I'll just say this about Vial, Joyal, the whole thing. Everything Vial does is very thought out in terms of any public appearance he makes, anything he says on a podcast, any of that kind of stuff. It's all very strategically implemented.
Yeah. How he contacts people.
Yes.
Calling them so it's off the record.
Yeah. And his behind the scenes trying to control narratives by getting certain people to say certain things or do certain things.
Yeah. I don't know why he says they're talentless. He's very talented.
Yeah. He's like the talented Mr. Ripley. In fact, but
is that a circus person?
Huh? It was a movie based on a book that came out in like maybe the late 90s that I think won an Oscar. It was definitely nominated for a bunch. Matt James, Jude Law. It was about a guy who infiltrates this kind of 1999.
I was 10 years old.
Me too. It was about a guy who infiltrates kind of a upper crust, like high society circle of friends.
I know our age gap now. Right. 13 years.
No, 99. I was graduating college. It was also the year The Matrix came out. But that's neither here nor there. I think that Joyao and Viao are doing this primarily to get sympathy in the wake of...
Of course.
What I can only imagine is super negative backlash from what he said. I mean, we're doing Micro Show May right now. If you haven't heard, we're putting Dave Neal and She's All Batch. We're all three going to be exchanging one another's episodes in our feeds to help promote each other and to help kind of combat the idea that a micro show is somehow less than Nick Viall's show, or in some ways below anyone caring about.
I don't see it as backlash. I see it as uplifting the micro shows.
Yes, rising tide lifts all micro shows.
My favorite shows are micro shows.
Same. And finally, in Bachelor Nation news, a big congratulations goes out to the only tropical royale in the history of the game and the BBTC himself, that of course is the big body trash can, Thomas Jacobs. The couple revealed the gender of their first child, and it's a boy. We will cover the reveal itself in Parasocial Plays, but congrats go out to the happy couple. It really makes you wonder what would happen to other Paradise couples if maybe they were given special treatment like Kufrin was on her season of BIP.
Wait, how is that connected?
I don't know. I just know it's true. I just know. On her season of BIP, she was given access to the internet.
So they were able to do this because of her laptop. I mean, she was able to, get the backstory on him and get a fuller understanding of the situation.
Yup. Because when you're in that situation, you're like, is this person fucking 4TWR? Are they 4TRR? Mm-hmm. What the hell's going on here? You don't know if they're a villain on their season, all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
She was essentially able to, in her own mind, I believe, overturn his villain edit with her internet sleuthing. And as a result, the relationship prospered. Had that not been the case, maybe they break up on sand. Maybe this new Bachelor Nation fetus doesn't even exist. And I wonder, I can't help but wonder, when this news is revealed, how does Vanessa Lachey feel? Yet another Paradise baby and not a single Love is Blind baby.
Oh my God, she's probably so pissed. She probably threw her phone in the ocean.
She's just screaming. She still gets like a paper edition of Us Weekly and she's flipping through it on the couch and she sees this and just fucking tears it in half, throws it. Nick.
She calls up Bliss. She's like, "You're ovulating, girlfriend. TikTok."
Oh my God. She has like ovulation charts of every one of the Love is Blind players.
Yeah, she's tracking their ovulations.
Yeah. That's part of a job of being a dark lord in that franchise. But no, congratulations obviously to Becky Kufrin and Thomas Jacobs. We can't wait to see all the pictures of this little baby. Is this baby going to have their own Instagram account?
Little body
trash can. And again, we did hear conjectured rumors about Becky Kufrin's pregnancy being the reason that they canceled Bachelor Live on Stage at the Talking Stick Resort in Arizona. I just simply don't think that's true at all.
Yeah, because everyone we've told that we were going to this didn't even know it existed.
Right. And I don't think this would have prohibited her from hosting it, because it would have happened, what was that, April 21st it was supposed to be? So it was like weeks ago. And if it would have prohibited her, they just would have got someone else. If there would have been money to be made, they would have made it. There wasn't no money to be made. They didn't sell no tickets for a variety of reasons. A variety of reasons.
They were like, "Show us who's bought tickets." And then they just look at the four names and they're like, "Nope."
Yeah, they actually sold out every show, but they were like, "No, we can't have them here."
Yeah.
No, I don't think that was it. I think they sold no tickets because they didn't market it well. And by that, I mean didn't market it at all.
At all.
And they held
never it on the show.
Never marketed on the show. Really barely marketed on social media. And they held it at a place that required anyone going to it to go to a destination, to take a vacation, to leave their home, a mini move, as you know, I'm fond of calling it. Had they just had it in even three cities, if they would have just done it like LA, New York, and Chicago, I think it would have sold more tickets. But it's like, you have to come to Arizona. I don't get it. Like Arizona, of all places too. Have it in Chicago at least.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Anyway. Nonetheless, that's all the news fits print. Now we're going to move on to that portion of our program where we're talking about all the plays our favorite players are making off the field. This is
the parasocial play of the week.
First impression rose recipient Greer Blitzer dallied in the Sauce Wars this week with a stunning TikTok. Under the caption, "Did you really have COVID on The Bachelor?" she lip syncs to the sound, "Okay, well, you know why that's interesting," and then runs away, implying she maybe never had COVID on Zach Shacklecross's season. The caption reads, "I guess we'll never know." The TikToker has 108.3K views and 4.3K likes. The people want to know.
God, I want to know. That's very interesting. Whether she had COVID or not, yeah. This is a great strong fucking play. A great parasocial play to drum up that like, oh, maybe she didn't have COVID. You know, as you're reading this and you're like Greer Blitzer, FinPro's recipient.
Maybe I never had COVID either.
Oh.
Didn't get it at Coachella. Is anyone interested in that?
Maybe. Make a TikTok about it. See what happens.
I could have gone to the first Bachelor Live. I just didn't want to.
Oh, what an insult. It's a knife to my heart personally and Dark Seekers. But what is interesting about this to me is that Greer Blitzer was a FimPros recipient and I had completely forgotten that. It seems like the weight of the FIMP is diminished. At any rate, moving on. Connor the Catman B revealed that the Bachelorette producers wrong seasoned him into not recording any new music. Wrong reasoned him into not recording any new music in the past 2 years via TikTok. He drinks a beverage under the caption, "Thinking about how I let the Bachelorette cinematic universe wrong reason me," cinematic universe, "into not recording music for 2 years." The caption reads, "Fuck you guys, I'm recording again this summer, hashtag songwriter, 15K views and 1K likes." And he's currently on Bachelor Paradise Canada. He's literally still in the franchise.
Isn't that under the Bachelorette cinematic universe?
Yeah, very much so.
Interesting. I hope he performs some of it on Bachelor in Paradise Canada. How can I watch this? I want to. Becca and Big Body revealed their little body trash can's gender via TikTok this week. In it, Kufrin pitches a ball to Big Body, and he hits it with a bat and it explodes in a cloud of blue smoke, suggesting that their little Tropical Royale baby will be a man. The stunning reveal has 31K likes, 415,000 views.
Jesus Christ. It's a great video. I gotta say, people have certain feelings on gender reveals and stuff. I like a good gender reveal video. I like it. I don't care. I'll say it. They're great. Yeah, I think they're fun.
As long as they don't light stuff on fire, I think it's fine.
Yeah, wasn't that one of the big fires out here in California, the campground fire or something?
Yeah.
So one of them was started by a gender reveal party. Yeah. Just don't have any pyrotechnics. A nice baseball bat hitting a balloon full of chalk.
Don't have any pyrotechnics. And also, don't cry. The other ones I don't like are where like the man cries because it's a daughter or something. Don't do that.
Oh, shit. Send me those. I haven't seen those. That sounds great.
Oh my God. It's horrible.
Of course. I've seen ones where like little brothers or sisters get pissed off because they wanted a little brother or sister. And the kid's like, fuck this. I wanted a brother. All of these were strong plays. However, there could be only one winner. Season 19 runner-up and season 20 fifth place player, Becca Tilly, made an iconic TikTok this week under the caption, "When you go on The Bachelor twice to get engaged to a man only to end up with a lesbian pop singer, she lip syncs to the Office sound. You either get it or you don't, and I don't, but I'm so excited to be a part of it." Becca's TikTok has 179K likes and, let me clear my throat, 1.8 million views.
Hell yes.
Jesus Christ. And this is like, we always talk about this, and everybody talks about this. The social media engagement of Bachelor Nation is dwindling. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Charity Lawson's numbers. After the reveal that she's Bachelorette, the promo, she's going around making the rounds, she's only got 104K. You see something like this and you're like, still some engagement there, ladies and gentlemen. Yep.
Still possible. And hey, Bachelor, Cinematic Universe is listening out there. Maybe have Becca Tilly and Hailey Kiyoko host a group date or comeback instead of Sean Lowe. The people are interested in this romance.
Not only are they, I mean, it just would speak volumes about what the franchise, are you really trying to make some steps forward? This would be a good way to say, like, look, here's a success story from our show. They didn't meet on our show.
Because
but
of
they
it,
they met because of it. Without Becca Tilly getting famous because of The Bachelor, I don't think she and Hayley Kiyoko would have ever met. So you could have them on. And I agree. Host a fucking group date. Why not? Why wouldn't you do it? Because they're bad at job. All these were great plays, of course, but there are some other plays that were made this week by some of those non-humans. This week, we saw an alpha male alert. Pino took care of business by taking over Jason Tardik's work chair. Jason Tardik posted a beautiful video of Pino sitting in his chair with a little caption that read something about, I'm trying to send in my resume because this is where dad does all of his work. It was very
small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Very cute. But there can be only one parasocial creature of the week. And this week, the award goes to none other than Copper. Rachel Lindsay posted a video montage of Copper's happiest moments to celebrate his birthday this week. Pace case. You share a birthday week with Copper. Congrats to Copper and the Rachel Lindsay.
Hell yeah. Taurus King.
That's right. Congrats to Copper. Congrats to Rachel Lindsay. Congrats to Lizzie Pace. Congrats to all Tauruses during Taurus season on this outstanding achievement. And now it's time for Pace Case and I to descend deep into the pit and issue forth our screams about how our fandom of reality television and our beloved game have forever changed us at a very core level, a DNA level. This is
Screams from the Pit!
My scream is that, as you know, this week I became a package deal. I gave birth to a creature. A dog creature. His name is Luca Toni, and he is sleeping behind me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been thinking about what kind of, you know, possibilities there are. He seems like a star to me. And I'm like, how could he be on The Bachelor? And then I was like, what is the most successful dog on The Bachelor so far?
Copper, right?
Copper, exactly. And I was like, you could be a Copper. Copper got his own ITMs. He was on like multiple seasons. I think he might have been in her Rachel Lindsay's intro package. Such a successful dog. And I am just hoping that Luca Toni can one day grow up to be as good as Copper.
Yeah. Copper was really a star on screen. You did have Ben Zorn's dog, which they showed a
kind of
ghost image in the sky, but you never saw his dog on the beach or anything. Copper, I think, was the most successful dog. Or if you want to go back, I don't remember this dog's name, but Shannon Oliver's dog in season one, that motherfucker was literally making plays in the fucking game. Like, I haven't seen some shit like that ever.
He was isolating Shannon, isolating the Bachelor with the family.
He stole Shannon from the first fucking audience. At any rate, congratulations on your scream.
Thank you.
Very beautiful. And Lucatoni is one of the cutest creatures I've ever seen. I didn't realize you gave birth to him. You're revealing that here on our show, exclusive.
I feel comfortable sharing that now.
It's a miracle.
And he sat sleeping in my lap for our whole meeting today, which was super cute.
Very cute indeed.
Can't wait for him to meet Skaboolian.
I don't know if that can happen. Do they commingle? Is that a fight? Is that a...
Look, I already introduced him to Sunny. I just had him like kind of smell each other from afar. And we're just, that's how we're going to do it. Like slow approach. Because he doesn't really understand what a cat is yet.
Well, I don't know. I'm more concerned for Lucatoni's safety than I am for Skaboolian's. Skaboolian is not...
Oh, me too.
Skaboolian likes the taste of human blood. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, you called him... What did you call him? A vampire?
Something like that. He does like to sink the tooth into a vein. But let me now issue forth my scream. It has nothing to do with package mm-hmm. deals. It has instead to do with what many of my screams have to do with. Being involved in a situation that has nothing to do with The Bachelor and then turning it exactly into a situation that has to do with The Bachelor. This past week, my friend Will Sasso and I, who do another podcast called Dudesy, we went on a podcast that is Howie Mandel's podcast. I believe the episode that we are on is going to air sometime next week. And largely, we were there to talk about this other podcast, Dudesy, artificial intelligence, the mm-hmm. state of the entertainment industry, the writer's strike, all these things.
Scandoval.
We didn't really even talk about Scandoval, even though Howie Mandel just did an interview with Tom Sandoval, what, last week, 2 weeks ago, something like that?
Yeah.
About all of it. At any rate, at the end of the thing, at the end of this podcast, we're sitting there talking and he asked me, what else are you up to? And immediately I'm like, well, I do this other podcast called Game of Roses. It's about Bachelor. And within 5 minutes, I'm just spewing forth how I am coaching players, about the book, about how to win The Bachelor, getting read, the producers. I'm talking about how the producer class now is strangling the life out of the show. Just doing like a basically like a PhD level thesis on the current state of the game as fast as I can. Good. Just couldn't even help it. Couldn't even help it. They didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
It just fucking happened. It just came out of me because it's in me. It's all around me. It's like the force.
Does Howie Mandel watch The Bachelor?
He does not. His daughter does, though. She's his co-host. And she likes reality TV. So at least I wasn't just like talking to somebody who didn't give a shit about anything I was saying. So I felt good in that regard. But yeah, I didn't expect it to happen. I wasn't going in there being like, oh, I'm going to talk about The Bachelor today. It just happened. It just came out of nowhere. Simply from the question, what else are you up to? That was it. And then, brah!
One of America's most successful comedians. Have you heard about Sean Lowe? Yeah.
He's actually Canadian.
Then definitely one of Canada's most successful comedians.
I mean, I think he's probably one of America and Canada's most successful comedians. He's on a million shows, hosting America's Got Talent. Wow. He hosted Deal or No Deal for a long time, doing all kinds of stuff all the time. But yeah, he was a great guy. Lovely to meet him. Can't thank him enough for having us on his show.
I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. It's pretty funny too. Even aside from the Bachelor stuff, like
maybe I'll watch it on the Patreon.
Yeah, perhaps. Let's move on now to one more scream. As you know, from time to time, aka every Friday, we will play a scream from somebody else in the pit. If you'd like to submit your scream, you just go to patreon.com/gameofroses. Join us in the bottom of the pit. Get access to our Discord and you can upload a 1 minute or under audio clip of your scream. We play the best ones here. This one comes with a video as well, which I assume will be available on our Instagram. So this is a scream that comes to us from someone named Les589. Let's listen and then watch. Here we go.
Hi, Pit. This is a joint scream coming from four Pit dwellers who met via the live Zoom watch along in fall of 2020. We became friends after getting placed into an Instagram group chat following that Zoom, and we have finally taken our first mini move together to Nashville, Tennessee, home of the Nashville Sliders.
Some of us are meeting for the first time in person after 2+ years of intense parasocial relationships in which we have shared all of our PTCs and the minutia of our lives. Thus far on the trip, the Pit has provided.
We went to a bar last night and met a girl who within 30 seconds told us that she was the niece of the 8th Bachelor of our beloved game, Travis Stork. Not only is she his niece, but she also is a part of the Dark Seasons, as she was one of the family members that was flown to Paris to meet his final two.
One member of the group matched with a Bachelor player on Bumble and has been engaging in strong chemistry play. Two of us have a Love Island podcast that obviously wouldn't exist without the pit, so we brought our recording equipment and recorded an episode.
We even performed a hoojoo on the streets of Nashville, and before you comment on it, Clues, I know that no ankle lock was achieved. It's harder than you'd think. There is also a Love is Blind event in Nashville this weekend, and we saw Chelsea from this most recent season on the street yesterday. Photos of us and video of the hoojoo are attached.
Praise be the pit!
This is one of the sweetest screams ever. A scream of friendship.
A stellar scream. Many things can happen once you give yourself over to the pit. And in this case, it was this group of friends have found each other, and now they're taking a mini move to Nashville to record podcasts, do hoojoos, run into Travis Stork's niece, I guess. It's just fucking phenomenal. But I gotta say, when members of the pit get together, strange things happen like that. The weird dark energies of the pit can sometimes attract a Travis Stork relative to you or other people from the game or Chelsea from Love is Blind. This is fantastic. I congratulate you all on having found and fostered this relationship deep in the confines of the pit. I'm now going to watch this video. Let's see about this hoojoo, if we shall. This video is incredible.
First of all, love the outfits.
That is not a good hoojooing outfit.
Degree of difficulty of that outfit
definitely makes it harder.
One of the screamers is wearing a pencil skirt and high heels. She's not even the anchor. She's leaping.
Yeah, unbelievable. And she starts her approach near a puddle in the street. That raises the level of difficulty. I also love the onlookers. There is a guy with a wallet chain, hands in pockets, just like, what the fuck is going on watching all of this? And then even as the hoojoo is in full motion, in full swing, there is a couple walking behind the hoojooer and the anchor, just baffled. Like, what in Christ's name is going on here? They're talking to each other. It looks like what the fuck? This is absolutely hilarious. Cannot thank you enough for the scream, for this beautiful video. As I said, hopefully this video will be up on our Instagram so that everybody can take a look at it. But this is what the pit is.
And thank you for telling us about your beautiful friendship that has blossomed during the pandemic through Game of Roses. And you basically went on like a Mecca trip here. Yeah,
I think this is absolutely beautiful. I love to hear stuff like this. When some power of the pit has brought people together in some way, created a friendship, offered somebody a unique opportunity. It seems like all of that was done this week in Nashville, slider country. Beautiful.
Slider and country. Those shoes ain't sliders, though.
They are not indeed. But if you would like to submit your scream, again, just go to patreon.com/gameofroses and fire off a little 1 minute or under audio clip. And we play the best ones here. And if you got a video that accompanies it, please send that as well. We love to see this kind of stuff. I would give this hoojoo, by the way. I got to be objective. I mean, I can't not be. It's simply as an Olympic level hoojoo judge. It's what's required of me. Let's really take it in. The approach is maybe a 7. The arms are low. You need to have those up higher so that you can clear the shoulders and the waist. You've got the anchor needing to bend down. That could be improved. The anchor does a good anchoring job here. You do get double hand lock behind the neck, which is good. You get some one kiss rain down. I like that. Smiles right into the camera. I have to say, we don't ever see that on Bachelor, looking directly into the camera. I like it. I think we should adopt this in our beloved game. That anytime they do it, both the anchor and the hoojooer.
I think you should raise your arms in the air like you've just done a vault. I watched the couple in the background this time and it was pretty funny.
The dismount is great.
They're like, God, Nashville's gotten really wild. Hoojooing right in the open.
The dismount maintains a close hug, actually, not even into a handhold. This is just into a dual hug. Very good dismount. Overall, I'm going to say this is around an 8.2. Not bad. Would have liked to see that ankle lock, as you mentioned. We didn't get that, but pretty good, especially for the degree of difficulty in this hoojoo outfit. But thanks again for sending this scream in. Absolutely loved it.
When she said, it's harder than you think, Clues, I felt that. That was very relatable. I was like, Clues needs to try a hoojoo to see how difficult
also,
each part of it is.
Who am I going to hoojoo?
Will Sasso.
What?
Anyone.
We're talking about, at least in Bachelor, almost Olympic-level athletes doing these things. That's what I'm grading. I'm 47 years old, almost 48. I can barely get out of bed in the morning. You think I could do a fucking hooju?
Think of the age gap, Pace Case.
Come on, cut me some slack. I've been walking, roaming this earth for many years.
I don't, you can do it on like a trampoline or something, what? Or on like a big soft bed.
Okay. Now you're going too far. No, there's no trampolines, no big soft beds. You either hooju or you do not.
For your old bones, your old cold bones.
I know, they are indeed cold at this point. I need to go bathe. So, before we go, as always, what is that dwabat?
It has been 7,718 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then